We have abundance in our life together today, thankfully. Thanks be to God. Let us continue in a spirit of prayer as we prepare to hear God's word. Will you please join me in prayer? Speak to us, O Lord, for your servants are listening. By your word and spirit, let your good news be heard. Reveal to us your power at work among us and through us, that all may know your love in Christ. Amen. Our scripture lesson comes to us today from the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. The events reported in this story come at a time when the people of Israel need a new beginning. Politically weak and economically disadvantaged, they face an ongoing threat posed by the more powerful Philistines. Their life as a nation and as a religious people is in disarray after a season of leadership by a succession of judges. Powerless to extricate themselves from their troubles, they don't know for certain where their future lies or how to claim it. In this context, the story we're about to hear is at one level about a family's struggle with infertility, but before we're done, we will learn there is much more going on, more that will reveal God's power at work for the community as well. Listen now to the story as it is narrated by a cast of characters that includes a man named Elkanah, his wife Hannah, and a priest named Eli. And listen for God's word to you. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival used to provoke her severely to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore, Hannah wept and would not eat. Her husband, Elkanah, said to her,
"Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons?"
After they had eaten and drunk at Shiloh, Hannah rose and presented herself before the Lord. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made this vow,
"O Lord of hosts, if only you will look on the misery of your servant and remember me, and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a male child, then I will set him before you as a Nazarite until the day of his death. He shall drink neither wine nor intoxicants, and no razor shall touch his head."
As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying silently. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her,
"How long will you make a drunken spectacle of yourself? Put away your wine."
But Hannah answered,
"No, my Lord, I am a woman deeply troubled. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servants as a worthless woman, for I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation all this time."
Then Eli answered,
"Go in peace. The God of Israel grant the petition you have made to him."
And she said,
"Let your servant find favor in your sight."
Then the woman went to her quarters, ate and drank with her husband, and her countenance was sad no longer. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah. Elkanah knew his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. In due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. She named him Samuel, for she said,
"I have asked him of the Lord."
This is the word of the Lord. For good reason, Hannah was sad. She was, "My life is falling apart," sad. Ashamed of herself, sad. Broken dreams, sad. Lying on the bathroom floor in the middle of the night, sobbing, sad. And this went on for years. But one day, something shifted for Hannah. On this day, she was still sad. In fact, she was weeping, tears that came from a place deep inside that she kept carefully protected. That little opening in her heart where she knew she was loved, even if she didn't always feel it. That tiny thought that told her she wasn't forgotten, all evidence to the contrary. Her God place. From that place, Hannah began a conversation. "Give me a child," she pleaded with God, "and I'll give him back to you. Give me a son, and I'll consecrate him to your service." That's quite a prayer. Bold, audacious, desperate. At first, the priest Eli couldn't hear it. He could not recognize this deep spiritual yearning in the sad and sorry woman before him. He thought she was drunk. But from her God place, a voice speaks up in Hannah. "No," she said to the priest, "I've not been drinking. Listen to me, please. Don't look at me with judging eyes that see a worthless woman. Look at me with loving eyes and see a troubled woman blurting out her pain to a God who she wants to believe cares. Listen and hear me, please." It couldn't have been easy to speak her truth to power, but they talked, and something happened between them. Hannah's need moved out of her own head and into the space that Eli ultimately provided. Her sadness gave way to hope. Another human being stood with her, believed with her, and hope opened in their powerless for God's power to be revealed. Eli told Hannah that God would hear her prayer. Hannah went home with a spring in her step. With a lighter heart, she went home to her husband. In due time, the story says, Hannah gave birth to a son. True to her vow, after the child was weaned, she brought him to the worship center at Shiloh, where he was raised by the prophet Eli. Although we've told this story as Hannah's story, its significance breaks open for us as we remember that she stands at the center of a much larger plot. The story is about a God whose power quietly works within these personal events, while the community waits in its social, political, and economic troubles. And it's a story about people who can't know that a turn of events is coming for them too, just as it did for Hannah and Elkanah. Their future is pressing to be born. A new beginning for Israel will come with King David, whose reign will ultimately unify them, protect and govern them in God's name. As God's representative among the people, David will establish a kingdom through which one day God's promised Messiah would be born. But not today. Today, this future that will come as the gift of God is as inconceivable for Israel as a child was for Hannah. Nonetheless, Samuel was born. Samuel, the child of Hannah's barrenness, grew up to be the very leader through whom God worked to identify David, the king through whom Israel's future would open. Make space for it, the story insists. The gift of God is coming. Make space in your minds, in your hearts, in your lives, for the future that is pressing to be born. When a family is expecting a child, all kinds of activity goes on to make space, right? Everything from clearing clutter to rearranging furniture to painting walls and hanging pictures, not to mention reading about what to expect, preparing siblings and consulting the elders. And then one day, the gift comes. So what about a community that is expecting a new leader? What about any of us who hope for a turn of events in a promised future we cannot yet see? How do we make space for God's power to be revealed here today? As I thought about this question in light of Hannah's story, I found myself wishing that I could teleport you all to a place called Taizé in France. There you would find not only the beauty of the rolling hillsides of France, and not only a worship space that has been prepared especially for you with its spare and simple setting, but also a community dedicated to living within a holy rhythm of worship and work, relationship and task, silence and speech. The sacred rhythm for which we have been made, in which we find our lives made holy in God. People come to this place by the thousands, most of them young people from all over the world, because they hunger for gifts that only God can give. Gifts like identity that comes from being known and loved by God, and vocation found in following the way of Jesus, and purpose that is deeply and clearly connected to the Spirit's reconciling activity, making a way for peace and justice in our world. If I could teleport you there, you would hear these bells ring three times a day, calling you to stop whatever you are doing and go into the church for worship. And you would be assigned a job for the benefit of the community. You would pitch in to wash dishes or clean rooms or empty the trash. And you would take part in a small group Bible study with others from all over the world. And the scriptures would be opened by the brothers of Taizé, who have dedicated their lives to studying and interpreting God's word so that people may be shaped, who will know and follow God's call to be reconciled. You would eat simple meals. You would walk country roads. You would sing songs and listen to scripture by candlelight. And although you may have come here full of yourself, you will leave with more of God. Although you may have brought your burdens and worries with you, you will find the one who has promised to give rest for your soul. And although your life may still hold all the usual distractions, and the world would still turn on all of its usual craziness, here you would feel space opening inside of you for the goodness, wisdom, and love of God to grow. And the gift of it would leave you feeling breathless and thankful and exceedingly generous. The gift of it would give you peace even as you wait for the future that is pressing to be born. If you don't believe me, if you find this all a bit inconceivable, if you have trouble imagining how people like you could feel at home in a place like this, check this out. Last Sunday, I told you a little bit about the powerful faith story sharing that happened at Great Getaway. I told you a little bit about the experience that we couldn't have planned and couldn't have controlled, but turned out to be a delightful gift of God. Today, we get to see what was created when some people from Crossroads got a taste of Taizé. This board, which is in the narthex, displays postcards proclaiming God's power at work in their lives. As it turns out, you don't need to be teleported to France after all. All you need is a little space right here to gather apart from the usual busyness of life, and people to surround you with their love, and beautiful, simple songs that are sung over and over again, until the melodies enter you and fill you and fuse your spirit with the Spirit of God. When this happened at Great Getaway, the space that was opened was holy, and a profound gift was given, the gift of seeing anew the presence and power of God, the Spirit of Christ that has been here all along, in us and among us, shaping a people who love God and each other, forming a people who are invested in the well-being of others. Friends, I know we are weary with being a church in transition. I know that in our personal lives, there is also weariness that comes from illness, loss, or any one of a number of other challenges. In a few moments, we will hear an update from the session about the plans that are underway to provide for the congregation's ministries and mission while the search for new pastors continues. But before we let our anxiety get the best of us, I wonder if we might take our cue from Hannah's story and tap into the Taizé tradition, making space right here and now, in our minds and in our hearts and in our lives, for God's power to be revealed among us today. We're going to end this sermon by entering into a time of sung prayer. But before we begin singing, I want you to ask yourself, where do you long for God's power to be known? For what reason might you pour out your soul to God today? The song we're about to sing asks for God's power to come and fill our hearts, our lives, and our situations with God's peace. It becomes a prayer as we sing it over and over again, until we are able to release ourselves and our future into the hands that are already powerfully at work among us. The words will appear on the screen. I invite us to follow Jenny as we enter into this time of prayer together.
Come and fill our hearts with your peace. You alone, O Lord, are holy. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. Alleluia. Come and fill our hearts with your peace.
God's power is often hidden in the events of our lives. And when there's a turn of events, it is God's gift, pure grace. Nothing we can do makes it happen. But we can focus on God. We can say our prayers. We can make our vows and pledges. We can receive each other's gifts. We can render our thanks. We can enact our worship. And when the gift comes, we can begin again with gratitude and praise as God's larger story unfolds, the story of the inconceivable future that God is birthing even now. Thanks be to God. Amen.